And it came to pass, whenever the ark went forward, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered.
May those who hate you
flee from before you.
For from
Zion shall go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord out of Jerusalem. Blessed be he who gave the Torah to his people Israel in his holiness. This is the moment when we signify the power of God's word, the power of Adonai. And so we're going to be marching the Torah around the hall. And as we do, you will see people touching the cover of the Torah and bringing their fingers to their lips. This is not kissing the Torah. If we were to kiss the Torah, that would be idolatry. What we are doing is empowering our bodies. And when we bring our fingers to our lips, we are empowering our hearts to speak God's truth to the whole world, which we symbolize by marching the Torah around our little world here.
Thank you. Baruch Adonai Barach, Baruch Adonai Barach Le'olam Va'ed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Bochar Banu Mikol Hamim, V'natan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah, Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One, for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from among all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah. Amen. He who blessed our fathers, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, may he bless those who came up to honor Jehovah and the Torah. May the Holy One, blessed be he, watch over them and protect them from all affliction and hardship, and from all plague and disease, and send blessing and prosperity on all the work of their hands. Amen. We start a new book of Torah today, Shemot. We'll be reading from Torah first in Hebrew and then in English.
Vayale shamot b'nei Yisrael havaim mitzrayim et Yaakov ishuvato Ba'u Reuven Eshmain Levi Yehuda Yisachar Vivolan Uvinyamin Don Vinaftali Gad Ve'asher Vayehi kol nafash yetze yarech Yaakov shizvim lafesh v'yosef haya b'mitzrayim vayami yosef v'chol echav V'chol hador ha'hu Uvone Yisrael Peru v'yosratzu V'yirbu v'yatzmu B'imot me'od v'atimale Ha'oretz otam.
These are the names of the sons of Yisrael, who came into Egypt with Yaakov. Each man came with his household: Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zebulun, Binyamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All told, there were 70 descendants of Yaakov. Yosef was already in Egypt. Yosef died, as did all his brothers and all that generation. The descendants of Yisrael were fruitful, increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew very powerful. The land became filled with them. Now there arose a new king over Egypt. He knew nothing about Yosef, but said to his people, "Look, the descendants of Yisrael have become a people too numerous and powerful for us. Come, let's use wisdom in dealing with them. Otherwise, they'll continue to multiply. And in the event of war, they might ally themselves with our enemies, fight against us, and leave the land altogether." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built for Pharaoh the storage cities of Pitom and Ramesses. But the more the Egyptians oppressed them, the more they multiplied and expanded, until the Egyptians came to dread the people of Israel and work them relentlessly, making their lives bitter with hard labor, digging clay, making bricks, all kind of field work, and in all this toil they were shown no mercy. Moreover, the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives. One of them was called Shiphrah and the other Puah. "When you attend the Hebrew women and see them giving birth," he said, "if it's a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live." However, the midwives were God-fearing women, so they didn't do as the king of Egypt ordered, but let the boys live.
Continuing on in verse 18, "The king of Egypt summoned the midwives and demanded of them, 'Why have you done this and let the boys live?' The midwives answered Pharaoh, 'It's because the Hebrew women aren't like the Egyptian women. They go into labor and give birth before the midwife arrives.' Therefore, God prospered the midwives, and the people continued to multiply and grow very powerful. Indeed, because the midwives feared God, he made them founders of families. Then Pharaoh gave this order to the people: 'Every boy that is born, throw in the river, but let all the girls live.' A man from the family of Levi took a woman who also descended from Levi as his wife. When she conceived and had a son, upon seeing what a fine child he was, she hid him for 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she took a papyrus basket, coated it with clay and tar, and put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the riverbank. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river, while her maids in attendance walked along the riverside. Spotting the basket among the reeds, she sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and looked inside, and there in front of her was a crying baby boy. Moved with pity, she said, 'This must be one of the Hebrew children.' At this point, his sister said to the Pharaoh's daughter, 'Would you like me to go and find you one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' Pharaoh's daughter answered, 'Yes, go.' So the girl went and called the baby's own mother. Pharaoh's daughter told her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will pay you for doing it.' So the woman took the child and nursed it. Then when the child had grown some, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, when she began to raise him as her son. She called him Moshe, which means pull out, explaining, 'Because I pulled him out of the water.'
One day when Moshe was a grown man, he went out to visit his kinsmen, and he watched them struggling at forced labor. He saw an Egyptian strike a Hebrew, one of his kinsmen. He looked this way and that, and when he saw that no one was around, he killed the Egyptian and hid his body in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other. To the one in the wrong, he said, 'Why are you hitting your companion?' He retorted, 'Who appointed you ruler and judge over us? Do you intend to kill me the way that you killed the Egyptian?' Moshe became frightened. Clearly, he thought, 'The matter has become known.' When Pharaoh heard of it, he tried to have Moshe put to death. But Moshe fled from Pharaoh to live in the land of Midian. One day, as he was sitting by a well, the 7 daughters of the priest of Midian came to draw water. They had filled the troughs to water their father's sheep, when the shepherds came and tried to drive them away. But Moshe got up and defended them. Then he watered their sheep. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said, 'How come you're back so soon today?' They answered, 'An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. More than that, he drew water for us and watered the sheep.' He asked his daughters, 'Where is he? Why did you leave the man there? Invite him to have something to eat.' Moshe was glad to stay on with the man, and he gave Moshe his daughter, Zipporah, in marriage. She gave birth to a son, and he named him Gershom, foreigner there, for he said, 'I have been a foreigner in a foreign land.' Sometime during those many years, the king of Egypt died, but the people of Israel still groaned under the yoke of slavery, and they cried out, and their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God. God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. God saw the people of Israel, and God acknowledged them."
Now Moshe was tending the sheep of Yithro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, leading the flock to the far side of the desert. He came to the mountain of God, to Horeb. The angel of Jehovah appeared to him in a fire blazing from the middle of a bush. He looked and saw that although the bush was flaming with fire, yet the bush was not being burned up. Moshe said, "I'm going to go over there and see this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't being burnt up." When Jehovah saw that he had gone over to see, God called him from the middle of the bush. "Moshe, Moshe," he answered. "Here I am." He said, "Don't come any closer. Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father," he continued, "the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, and the God of Yaakov." Moshe covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Jehovah said, "I see how my people are being oppressed in Egypt, and heard their cry for release from the slave masters, because I know their pain. I have come down to rescue them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that country to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the place of the Canaanite, Hitti, Emery, Petrich, Perizzi, and Hivi, and Yevuzi. Yes, the cry of the people of Israel had come to me, and I have seen how terribly the Egyptians oppressed them. Therefore now, come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you can lead my people, the descendants of Israel, out of Egypt." Moshe said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt?" He replied, "I surely will be with you. Your sign that I have sent you will be that when you have led the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moshe said to God, "Look, when I appear before the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God said to Moshe, "I am, I will be what I am or will be," and added, "Here is what to say to the people of Israel. Ele, I am or I will be, has sent me to you." God said further to Moshe, "Say this to the people of Israel. Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Jehovah, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, and the God of Yaakov, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is how I am to be remembered generation after generation.
Go, gather the leaders of Israel together and say to them, 'Adonai, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, has appeared to me and said, I have been paying close attention to you and have seen what has been being done to you in Egypt. And I have said that I will lead you up out of the misery of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite, Hitti, Emori, Perizzi, Hivi, and Yevuzi, to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will heed what you say. Then you will come, you and the leaders of Israel, before the king of Egypt, and you will tell him, Adonai, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. Now please, let us go 3 days' journey into the desert so that we can sacrifice to Adonai our God. I know that the king of Egypt will not let you leave unless he is forced to do so, but I will reach out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders that I will do there. After that, he will let you go. Moreover, I will make the Egyptians so well disposed towards this people that when you won't go empty-handed. Rather, all the women will ask their neighbors and house guests for silver and gold jewelry and clothing, with which you will dress your own sons and daughters. In this way, you will plunder the Egyptians. Moshe replied, But I'm certain they won't believe me, and they won't listen to what I say, because they'll say, Adonai did not appear to you. Adonai answered him, What is that in your hand? And he said, A staff. He said, Throw it on the ground. And he threw it on the ground. It turned into a snake, and Moshe recoiled from it. Then Adonai said to Moshe, Put out your hand and take it by the tail. He reached out with his hand and took hold of it, and it became a staff in his hand. This is so that they will believe that Adonai, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, and the God of Yaakov, has appeared to you. Furthermore, Adonai said to him, Now put your hand inside your coat. He put his hand inside his coat, and when he took it out, his hand was leprous, as white as snow. Then God said, Now put your hand back in your coat. He put his hand back in his coat, and when he took it out, it was as healthy as the rest of his body. If they won't believe you or heed the evidence of the first sign, they will be convinced by the second. But if they aren't persuaded by even both those signs and still won't listen to what you say, then take some water from the river and pour it on the ground. The water you take from the river will turn into blood on the dry ground. Moshe said to Adonai, O Adonai, I'm a terrible speaker. I always have been, and I'm no better now, even after you've spoken to your servant. My words come slowly. My tongue moves slowly. Adonai answered him, Who gives a person a mouth? Who makes a person dumb or deaf, keen-sighted or blind? Isn't it I, Adonai? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and will teach you what to say. But he replied, Please, Lord, send someone else, anyone you want. At this, Adonai's anger blazed up against Moshe, and he said, Don't you have a brother, Aharon the Levi? I know that he is a good speaker. In fact, here he is now, coming to meet you, and he'll be happy to see you. You will speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and his. In effect, for you, he will be a mouth, and for him, you will be like God. Now take this staff in your hand, because you need it to perform the signs.
Moshe Lev returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, I beg you to let me go and return to my kinsmen in Egypt, to see if they are still alive. Jethro said to Moshe, Go in peace. Adonai said to Moshe in Midian, Go on back to Egypt, because all the men who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moshe took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started out for Egypt. Moshe took God's staff in his hand. Adonai said to Moshe, When you get back to Egypt, make sure that you do before Pharaoh every one of the wonders I have enabled you to do. Nevertheless, I am going to make him hard-hearted, and he will refuse to let the people go. Then you are to tell Pharaoh, Adonai says, Israel is my firstborn son. I have told you to let my son go in order to worship me, but you have refused to let him go. Well, then I will kill your firstborn son. At a logging place on the way, Adonai met Moshe and would have killed him, had not Zipporah taken a flintstone and cut off the foreskin of her son. She threw it at his feet, saying, What a bloody bridegroom you are for me. But then God let Moshe be. She added a bloody bridegroom because of the circumcision. Adonai said to Aaron, Go into the desert to meet Moshe. He went, met him at the mountain of God, and kissed him. Moshe told him everything Adonai had said in sending him, including all the signs he had ordered him to perform. Then Moshe and Aaron went and gathered together all the leaders of the people of Israel. Aaron said everything Adonai had told Moshe, who then performed the signs for the people to see. The people believed when they heard that Adonai had remembered the people of Israel and seeing how they were oppressed. They bowed their heads and worshipped.
After that, Moshe and Aharon came and said to Pharaoh, "Here is what Adonai, the God of Israel, says. Let my people go, so that they can celebrate a festival in the desert to honor me." But Pharaoh replied, "Who is Adonai that I should obey when he says to let Israel go? I don't know Adonai, and I won't let Israel go." They said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go 3 days' journey into the desert so that we can sacrifice to Adonai our God. Otherwise, he may strike us with the plague or with the sword." The king of Egypt answered them, "Moshe and Aharon, what do you mean by taking the people away from their work? Get back to your labor." "Look," Pharaoh added, "the population of the land has grown, yet you are trying to have them stop working." That same day, Pharaoh ordered the slave masters and the people's foremen, "You are no longer to provide straw for the bricks the people are making as you did before. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But you will require them to produce the same quantity of bricks as before. Don't reduce it, because they're lazing around. This is why they're crying. Let us go and sacrifice to our God. Give these people harder work to do. That will keep them too busy to pay attention to speeches full of lies." The people's slave masters went out, their foremen too, and said to the people, "Here is what Pharaoh says. I will no longer give you straw. You go yourselves and get the straw wherever you can find it. But your output is not to be reduced." So the people were dispersed throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The slave masters kept pressing them, "Keep working, make your daily quota, just as when straw was provided." The foreman of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's slave masters had appointed to be over them, were flogged and asked, "Why haven't you fulfilled your quota of bricks yesterday and today, as you did formerly?" Then the foreman of the people of Israel came and complained to Pharaoh, "Why are you treating your servants this way? No straw is given to your servants, yet they keep telling us to make bricks. And now your servants are being flogged, but the fault lies with your own people." "Lazy," he retorted. "You're just lazy. That's why you say, 'Let's go and sacrifice to Adonai.' Get going now and get back to work. No straw will be given to you, and you will still deliver the full amount of bricks." When they said, "You are not to reduce your daily production quota of bricks," the foremen of the people of Israel could see that they were in deep trouble. As they were leaving Pharaoh, they encountered Moshe and Aharon standing by the road, and they said to them, "May Adonai look at you and judge accordingly, because you have made us utterly abhorrent in the view of Pharaoh and his servants, and you put a sword in their hands to kill us." Moshe returned to Adonai and said, "Adonai, why have you treated this people so terribly? What has been the value of sending me? For ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has dealt terribly with this people, and you haven't rescued your people at all." Adonai said to Moshe, "Now you will see what I am going to do to Pharaoh. With a mighty hand, he will send them off. With force he will drive them from the land. May the Lord add the blessing to his word.
I find it amazing that the foreman whipped and beat the people for not having bricks, and they came to Moshe and said, why, you know, we're so mad at you because us, your servants, they used the word there, servant, but really they're slaves to death, to the Pharaoh, not servants to God, but yet they think of themselves as servants to Pharaoh, they're supposed to die. And so it's now time God is going to show them that they are not slaves to death, but rather servants to life and life everlasting. Amen.
So many people have said that the Torah is obsolete, that it has no value for us today. And yet embedded in this parasha are some critical aspects that do speak to us directly today. Namely, one, Pharaoh ordered the midwives to kill all the male babies born of Jewish women. They could have said, yes, we will do that, and when confronted by God would say, but we are only following orders. That is what every oppressor of our people said when confronted by the law. We were only following orders. But God has a higher set of standards. And Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, the Lord God Almighty, said to these midwives, stand up, I will protect you. And they stood up, and he protected them. And God says that to everyone who believes in him. Stand up, and I will protect you. It holds true then, it holds true today, and it will hold true tomorrow. May the Lord's name be blessed.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who selected good prophets and was pleased with their words, which were spoken truthfully. Blessed are you, O Lord, who chooses the Torah, your servant Moses, your people Israel, and prophets of truth and righteousness.
Our first Haftorah reading comes from Yeshayahu, Isaiah, chapter 27, verse 6, to chapter 28, verse 13, and then chapter 29, verses 22 and 23.
The time is coming when Yaakov will take root, Israel will bud and flower, and fill the whole world with a harvest. Adonai will not strike Israel as he did others who struck Israel. He will not kill them as he did the others. Your controversy with her is fully resolved by sending her into exile. He removes her with a rough gust of wind on a day when it is blowing from the east. So the iniquity of Yaakov is atoned by this, by removing his sin. And removing his sin produces this result. He chops up all the altar stones like chalk. Sacred poles and sun pillars stand no more. For the fortified city is alone, abandoned and deserted like the desert. Calves graze and lie down there, stripping its branches bare. When its harvest dries up, it is broken off. Women come and set it on fire. For this is a people without understanding. Therefore, he has made them... Therefore, he who made them will not pity them. He who formed them will show them no mercy. On that day, Adonai will beat out the grain between the Euphrates River and the Wadi of Egypt, and you will be gathered one by one, people of Israel. On that day, a great shofar will sound. Those lost in the land of Asher will come, also those scattered through the land of Egypt, and they will worship Adonai on the holy mountain of Jerusalem. Woe to the haughty crown of Ephraim's drunks, on the fading flower of its proud splendor, located at the head of the rich valley belonging to the people overcome by wine. Adonai has someone strong and powerful. He comes like a hailstorm, a destructive tempest, like a flood of water rushing overwhelming. With his hand, he hurls them to the ground. The haughty crown of Ephraim's drunks is trampled underfoot, and the fading flower of its proud splendor, located at the head of the rich valley, is like the first ripe fig of summer. Whoever sees it picks and eats it. On that day, Adonai Saviot will be a glorious crown, a brilliant diadem for the remnant of his people. He will also be a spirit of justice for whoever sits as a judge, and a source of strength for those repelling enemy attacks at the gate. But there are others reeling from wine, staggering about because of strong liquor. Kohen and prophet reel from strong liquor. They are confused by wine. Led astray by strong liquor, they err in their visions and stumble when judging. All the tables are covered with vomit and feces. Not a single place is clean. Can no one be taught anything? Can no one understand the message? Must one teach barely weaned toddlers, babies just taken from the breast, so that one has to use nursery rhymes? Tzav la tzav, tzav la tzav, kav la kav, kav la kav, sier sham, precept by precept, precept by precept, line by line by line, a little here, a little there. So with stammering lips in a foreign accent, Adonai will speak to this people. He once told his people, it's time to rest. The exhausted can rest, now you can relax. But they wouldn't listen. So now the word of Adonai for them comes, precept by precept, precept by precept, line by line, a little here, a little there, so that when they walk, they stumble backward and are broken, trampled, and captured. Therefore, here are the words of Adonai who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Yaakov. Yaakov will no longer be ashamed. No longer will his face grow pale. When his descendants see the work of my hands, among them they will consecrate my name. Yes, they will consecrate the Holy One of Yaakov and stand in awe of God, and stand in awe of the God of Israel.
Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us Messiah Yeshua and the teachings of the new covenant. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the apostolic scriptures. Amen.
As the time drew near for the fulfillment of the promise God had made to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt increased greatly, until there arose another king over Egypt who had no knowledge of Yosef. With cruel cunning, this man forced our fathers to put their newborn babies outside their homes so that they could not survive. It was then that Moshe was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. For 3 months he was reared in his father's house, and when he was put out of his home, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. So Moshe was trained in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and became both a powerful speaker and a man of action. But when he was 40 years old, the thought came to him to visit his brothers, the people of Israel. On seeing one of them being mistreated, he went to his defense and took revenge by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed his brothers would understand that God was using him to rescue them, but they didn't understand. When he appeared the next day as they were fighting and tried to make peace between them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" The one who was mistreating his fellow pushed Moshe away and said, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" On hearing this, Moshe fled the country and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he had 2 sons. After 40 more years, an angel appeared to him in the desert near Mount Sinai in the flames of a burning thorn bush. When Moshe saw this, he was amazed at the sight, and he approached to get a better look. There came a voice of Adonai, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." But Moshe trembled with fear and didn't dare to look. Adonai said to him, "Take off your sandals, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have clearly seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt. I have heard their cry, and I have come down to rescue them. And now I will send you to Egypt. This Moshe, whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' is the very one whom God sent as both ruler and ransomer by means of an angel that appeared to him in the thorn bush. This man led them out, performing miracles and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moshe who said to the people of Israel, 'God will raise up a prophet like me from among your brothers.' This is the man who was in the assembly in the wilderness, accompanied by the angel that had spoken to him at Mount Sinai, and by our fathers, the man who was given living words to pass on to us."
Hebrews.
And Hebrews 11, verse 23 to 26. "By trusting, the parents of Moshe hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they weren't afraid of the king's decree. By trusting, Moshe, after he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose being mistreated along with God's people rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. He had come to regard abuse suffered on behalf of the Messiah as greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he kept his eyes fixed on the reward."
Amen. Some Tzukim who say there is no resurrection came to Yeshua and put to him a shaliah. "Rabbi, Moshe wrote for us that if a man dies leaving a wife but no children, his brother must take the wife and have children to preserve the man's family line. Now there were 7 brothers. The first took a wife and died childless, then the second, and the third took her, and likewise all 7, but they all died without leaving children. Lastly, the woman also died in the resurrection, which one's wife will she be? For all 7 were married to her. Yeshua said to them, 'In this age men and women marry, but those judged worthy of the age to come and of the resurrection of the dead do not get married, because they can no longer die. Being children of the resurrection, they are like angels. Indeed, they are children of God. But even Moshe showed that the dead are raised, for in the passage about the bush, he called Adonai, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzhak, and the God of Yaakov. Now he is not God of the dead, but of the living. To him all are alive."
This is the Torah which Moses placed before the children of Israel. It is the cords of Adonai's command by the hand of Moses. A tree of life it is for those who take hold of it, and blessed are the ones who support it. Its ways are ways of blessedness, and all its paths are peace. Long life is in its right hand, and in its left are riches and honor. Adonai was pleased for the sake of his righteousness to render the Torah great and glorious.
When the ark rested,
Moses would say, "Return, O Adonai, to the myriads of Israel's families. Arise, O Adonai, to your resting place, you and your mighty ark. Clothe your priests with righteousness. May those who have experienced your faithful love shout for joy. For the sake of your servant David, don't delay the return of your Messiah. I give you good instruction. Do not forsake my Torah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu hadavar hachai, v'mashiach Yeshua, amen.
Blessed are you, O Adonai our God, ruler of the universe, who gives us the living word. More and more, day after day, each day as it passes, I'm beginning to understand the frustration that my beloved has in the way that I bumble and stumble and do things that she doesn't
expect me to do, but now has become quite aware of what I'm capable of doing.